Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
So is it Matt Patricia, Mike Vrabel? Who has a better year?
Vrabel.
I mean, I love Mike Vrabel.
Oh, Matt Patricia all day long.
Really?
Coaching your first game against the Hoodie.
Bill Belichick is a man of the people.
Why is Malcolm Butler so bad?
Duck boats.
Are we building a great, big, 6'5", 235-pound straw man?
Nate's older. Why'd he play left tackle?
Oh, Jesus.
Malcolm Butler was killing him out there.
Bill made the right decision.
Maybe he's just not that good.
Now, that's crazy.
Right now.
I'm going to call him dick from now on.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF, let's take some of these phone calls, and then we'll get into what everybody's talking about, Malcolm Butler.
Ah.
Of the Super Bowl all over again. Damn it. Here's Joe. Joe's in Plymouth. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how you doing, mate?
What's up, Joe?
How are you?
Good. I have two quick questions, not about Malcolm Butler, but when the Patriots got in trouble for that Inflategate, not Inflategate, but the Camergate or whatever.
Right, Spygate.
They got in trouble.
Let's take this call.
Now, Houston.
What's that again?
He's like that guy that.
I mean, there's three calls on here. We're going to talk about the Red Sox.
It's like that guy that was
stealing signs. There's three other calls about what the Red Sox should do. You go to the guy about stealing signs.
It says on there, Astro stealing signs.
Yeah, I know. Why would you take Astro stealing signs?
Why not?
See, now, you want to be rude
to Joe and not take Joe's phone call?
No, Joe, continue. Go ahead.
Joe, these guys don't want to talk to you.
It's not your fault, Joe.
How do you feel about that?
Joe, I just want you to spit it out as quickly as possible.
Okay, well, did Houston get in any trouble at all for doing that?
No.
No, nothing at all.
Nope. The league came out and said they did nothing wrong.
So what's your point with the Astros stealing signals? Because that's what you told the producer you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, the Astros stealing signals.
Right.
Did they get punished? I just answered.
Well, that was it. Thanks, Joe.
That's it?
Bye.
No, there's another quick question.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, quick.
I just said bye.
You're
terrible.
I love you guys' show. I'm surprised I'm surprised you hear about it. There was just this, you guys talk about news sometimes. There was this famous actress, her first name was Reese. Reese
Witherspoon?
Yes. But she murdered her husband.
Reese Witherspoon murdered her husband?
Okay, bye.
Oh, my God.
Did that happen?
Thank you.
Did I miss that?
I'm done. Are you drunk right now?
Seriously.
What is wrong with
you? What are you blaming it on me for?
You have control of the call.
During the break, you said, listen, we got like four calls on here. Real quick, let's finish up these four calls about what the Red Sox should do with Evaldi.
That was one of the
to the one call that we said, don't go to that guy. Go to the other one.
You know what you're lacking? Situational awareness.
Good point.
You have no idea.
I want to find out about Reese Witherspoon. Is that breaking news
now? Somebody die? Was that a movie?
You need to learn wrong.
Where do you want to go, big
fella? Go ask Eddie. Eddie's got a good question.
Eddie. Yeah, about Eddie's number one. In a car. Eddie,
your
go ahead.
Baseball stupid.
What's up, Eddie?
Listen, real quickly, you know, Eddie, I'd appreciate you guys to stop calling me Dick. It's short for Eddie. You guys.
Okay.
All right, Bill.
Sorry.
Hey, the other thing I wanted to talk about is, if you said to me, Eddie, you can have one pitcher out of Sale, you can have Price out of Kimbrel or Evaldi, I would put all my eggs into the basket on Evaldi.
Yeah, victim of the moment. There it is right there.
I was just waiting for it. And why not Joe Kelly?
The last thing you've seen. And
David
was,
Price. Are you telling me David Price? I mean, really? I mean, what are we doing here?
Yeah, David Price should be victim.
Should have been the MVP.
So you wanted to sign Evaldi.
Listen, they took Evaldi, they sewed his arm together again. He's like a Superman. I like the kid from the movie The Rookie. And mentally, he's tough mentally. I like the kid, and you know what? I would take a shot on him before the three of them together, because this guy, I think he has so much tremendous upside, and I like what we all saw in the World Series.
So what do we want to see?
What do we want to see at the end of the game come in? We wanted to see Evaldi. What does that tell you about who he is? I know he was hot, but a lot of people were saying, oh, you know, this guy, he's just a journeyman. Well, you know what? They took this journeyman's arm, they sewed it together, and I think it's magic.
I know, Eddie, but, you know, I love seeing Steve Pierce come up, but I'm not saying get rid of J.D. Martinez either in the postseason. Or Mookie Betts.
But there's a difference between Pierce. Pierce got lucky with a couple of nice
hits.
What Evaldi had to do, there's a big difference between what he did and what Pierce did.
Eddie, I don't think anybody disagrees.
I think everybody would
like to have Evaldi back. Right. You want to give him 5 years, $100 million?
No.
I think that if I had to, I'd bring him back. If I had to make him my closer, I would. I would do whatever I had to bring him back, because he was He was the biggest difference in the world.
Yeah, but you're not giving him five. You're not giving him 5 years and $100 million, are you?
And then you
no.
Okay,
so you don't have to
but I thought you wanted.
Well, we don't know. Another team might. Yeah, that's
no, there's a lot of other. Listen, there's people that are going to want to pay him, but they're not going to let him take the whole vault. They're not going to open the vault for him.
How do you know?
The Red Sox need to pay. Listen, they need to not let him get away. If there's any way you can grab this kid, it's something that's reasonable.
Okay, so according to Jim Bowden, he thinks the best fits are Indians, Red Sox, Dodgers, Cubs, Nationals, Braves, Phillies, Brewers, Rangers, Yankees, Blue Jays, Reds,
Giants. He's a fit for everyone.
Exactly.
Because he's not going to make $30 million a year.
So he's going to have a lot of teams
going
for him.
So everyone's going to be sitting there saying, 14? And by the time those teams are done talking, it could be 18.
How about if the Indians
trade? It could be 19.
How about if
the Indians? It could be 3-60.
How about if Cleveland trades away one of their starters?
The problem with Cleveland that list is like, if you're going to blow it up, are they going to go sign Eovaldi? Why don't you just keep Carrasco? You know what I mean? Don't trade him. You know what I mean?
Wait a minute. What is his contract like? When's it done? That's the problem, right? Yeah. He goes to free agency. He may get a lot more in free agency. So it depends on the price here for Eovaldi. So if it's 3 years, what Bowden is saying is 3 years and $42 million. That is a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. I've got to believe the teams are going to give him more than that.
I would agree.
But he knows a lot of the stuff. Maybe he's right on this. Here's Pete. He's up next here on EEI. Hi, Pete.
Hey, boys.
Hey, Pete.
Thanks for taking my call. You guys already talked about Eovaldi. I agree with that previous call. You got to sign him. I like him. I know money's a big issue. I got three questions, three position players, right? Uh-huh. What's the long-term fix at second base, first base long-term, and if you guys get rid of JBJ, or if they get rid of JBJ, what do they do for the outfielder? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
There is no long-term solution at second. Short-term fix. I don't think you trade Jackie because you have to bring in a guy for about six or seven to replace him unless you want JD playing left every day. I don't want him. Sign Pierce, and he and Molin signed Pierce for $6, $7 million too, and you got a first baseman for $14 million. Going to hit close to 30 home runs combined. You're good.
So, but Troy, what is
Pedroia have
left?
Back. I mean, he's coming back.
That's my point. So I don't know.
You're
really
paying him anyway, though.
What does he got? Like 2 years left on his deal?
Nothing's different than last year, second base. Like, Pedroia comes into camp. Yep. You don't know when he's going to be available. You got Holt. You got Nunez. You're going to have this kid, Marco Hernandez, who missed all year last year, who could be in play.
I forgot about him.
Another year of Su-Wei Lin. And if it's an issue at the deadline, you go and trade for a guy for $3-4 million like left on his deal, like a guy like Kinsler.
So here
nothing changes at second.
Here's Pedroia's deal at age 35. That will be 2019, $15 million. Year after that, $13 million. 2021, $12 million. It'll be 37 years.
There's no way of getting out of it. No way of trading.
So you're paying him anyway. And unless he walks,
he's going to be healthy.
Unless he walks away, which he won't do. Right.
Who knows? I mean, what else are you going to do? You got to give him a chance because if he can come back and play limited time, at a certain level that he's capable of, okay, you're good. And if it doesn't work out, you got Brock Holt. You got Marco Hernandez. You got Su-Wei Lin. You got Nunez, who we all know can't play second very well. But still, you got bodies. And if it's an issue in July, you go and trade for a defensive guy. Who's going to sit in the World Series or come in defensively?
So he's
like Kinsler did.
He's got trade protection. Not that you're going to trade him away, but he also has $18 million deferred that is going to be paid between 2021 and 2028.
Yeah,
deferred
nice.
Out of that entire contract.
Not bad. But I mean, I think Pierce is easy.
Unless somebody else.
No one's going to view him as an everyday first baseman.
I wouldn't think so.
He's a platoon guy. So with that said, if you got an everyday first baseman who's a righty, he's not a platoon match. If you got an everyday first baseman who's a lefty who just plays every day, he's not a match. So there aren't going to be many matches for him. This is the perfect fit. And if you offer him seven, he's not going to turn down 12, 14, 15 million from anybody. He's not going to be there.
Yeah,
so he might try to get eight and a half from somebody, but I think he'd come back for seven.
Yeah, see, the point you're bringing up, which I think is interesting, is that you really have to think about your starting rotation, not just for this year, but the year after that. You really have to contemplate that because if Sale is the same guy
Price
that he was,
E-Rod.
Right? If Sale is the same guy than he was this year and the year before. And by the way, you managed him this year. What more can you do?
Managed him well.
Right. Sit him down for, what, 2 months in the middle of the season and say, you know, we're going to give you a June and July off. You come back in August and September, and we'll get what we normally get in June and July out of you in August and September. There's no way that you can manage him, micromanage him better than you're doing right now, and yet he's terrific for the first 3-4 months of the season, and then he fades at the end. His body can't handle it. So how do you go out and pay him big bucks? How can you depend on him going forward as your ace on the staff? You can't.
You're going to start comparing him to David Price and his postseason issues.
Yeah.
That's what you end up doing.
I mean,
you know, it's not nearly as bad or as long.
But I think the difference here is I think he physically just gets worn down as the season progresses on. There's a pattern.
So don't start
we've seen
until
it now.
June.
Well, maybe that's what you do.
I'm not kidding.
I know.
Or, you know, I mean, it could be just a perfect storm as well. You know, he could be like Xander. Everybody jumped the gun on Xander, if you ask me personally, because I think his rookie year, he struggled in the first half, was great in the second half. Then for 2 years in a row, he struggled in the second half and became a label. And we forgot the fact that he hurt his hand.
Yeah.
So is Chris Sale, is this a pattern? Or is this a two-year thing where unfortunate circumstances look like a pattern like it did with Xander? And everybody overreacted how he can't stay strong through the second half. Or is it Chris Sale coming in year one, not overhyping everything early on and coming out guns blazing early and just sort of running out of gas like he does before because he doesn't plan on playing for 7 months. In Chicago, we only played for six. So he learned how to deal with everything and was dealing with it perfectly. And then maybe in June or July, maybe he hit the gas too much. You know, he was throwing the ball harder than he ever has in his entire life, his entire career. So maybe it was just a little injury. Maybe it was just a little hiccup.
But it's not.
But I need to see year three to find out if it's if it's a pattern or if it's just circumstances.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to give him an extension. I need to find that out next year.
All right, I hear your take on the postseason because the White Sox aren't there, but the pattern was similar in Chicago, and the fade would come in September. Mm-hmm. So in September, he would fade every year. So it's like you got to put an odometer on him, and you can't look at anywhere close to 200 innings. But that odometer.
I don't know if they'll ever admit it, but they're like, I don't know. We'll see. But
I blame it on Farrell.
No.
Blame it on Bill James.
Yeah.
They had a great 3-month plan, you know, or maybe four: February, March, April, May. And then Chris Sale got tired of throwing, you know, 93, 94 miles an hour and said, you know, what do you say? I'm throwing away the minivan. I'm coming out with the Porsche.
Yeah.
And started just letting it go because he felt so good. You know, so maybe he hit the gas too soon. It's like, you know, we for 3 months we had a plan, and then we just let you do your thing, and you hit the gas, and you threw 99 every single freaking start for 100 pitches. And it just your body wasn't ready for that because you've never done that before. So now it does, okay, rather than that, now we're going to stick with the 3-month plan, but that 3-month plan is now going to be a 5-month plan, 6-month plan. You know, we're not going to let you just hit the gas in June and throw 99 for 2 months. So it's still maybe a work in progress, but you got to see it before you give him a 4-year, $30 million extension.
Right.
That'd be stupid right now.
There are some people who are changing their position on what happened with Malcolm Butler on Super Bowl Sunday. We'll find out if Lou has changed his position based on the fact that he sucks this year. We'll do all of that next.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
I hate to say this. Maybe he's just not that good. Maybe he had his moment or six of great glory in a great scheme. And maybe there's a reason he wasn't drafted and didn't get invited to the combine and things like that. And again, I know that sounds odd, but because he did have some really, really good moments.
Really,
but in totality, I think his career has had some pretty big highs, but it's also had quite a few lows.
Thanks for that, Peter. That was a balanced
report.
That was a balanced
report.
You know what?
He's been good and bad.
And both.
He's been smart
and dumb.
He's been tall and short.
This is the subject that won't go away. I mean, it's a topic that just keeps on just giving and giving and giving and giving. So what's happened is that we all had no clue what happened on Super Bowl Sunday. Now, some of us had theories. Lou had a theory. I had a theory. Christian had a theory. Christian and I had a theory that was more in line with each other than Lou's was, but so be it. Everybody has their opinion. None of us knows exactly what happened. But now what has happened in Malcolm Butler's career is he goes to Tennessee, he gets his big contract, and he absolutely sucks. I mean, he's the worst corner or one of the worst corners in the league. And
let me ask you something, just in a separate discussion, because I know where it's always headed. But let's just say Malcolm Butler played in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Let's just say he played, got burned once, whatever it was. Right. They end up losing the game, and it's not all about Malcolm Butler after the Super Bowl. And he went to Tennessee and sucked. Is there a chance that we would be talking at all about how change of scenery, the only organization he knew was New England. He's asked in a different system, playing with guys again for maybe the first time, even though Logan Ryan, I understand
legit.
That.
Yeah.
The pressures of playing for a contract, being the man, trying to prove the contract. Would we have any talk at all about any of those things?
No.
I think we would.
But not like that.
Right. Bill was smart. Right. This is why, because he sucks.
Right. No, what it does do, I mean, you're right to an extent.
Like, yeah, we do with everybody.
Well, we do with a lot of people. Because most guys, I would say, most guys that leave, and you can start with Willie McGinnis, you can go to, start going through the line of, go through the list.
Well, we said about Amendola. Amendola, God bless him, but he's going to be asked to do different things. And I don't know how he's going to excel at that. He's not going to be asked to do like Hogan right now, to do Hogan things, right? And to come up in just big moments with the big catch. He's going to be asked to be the guy.
No, but Amendola
and he's not
is
at
not
that
being,
role. He's good, not good at that role.
So Amendola's not being asked to be the guy, right? That's different. So he's basically in the same role, even to the point where they're like giving him days off. Like Wednesday, he doesn't even practice. He sits down there.
Let's go to the beach, picks up new women.
That's just taking care of an old man during the week.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
But he hasn't missed a game yet.
Right?
No, I mean,
hasn't missed a game, and his production has been pretty good.
Alex Cora thing,
so we got into this like everybody else is getting into this because it's a Malcolm Butler week. It's Tennessee Titans, and so Chris Casper, who was adamant—that
was yesterday,
by the way—he was adamant that Bill wasn't that good a coach. He just didn't know what the hell he was doing on Super Bowl. I don't understand how he couldn't play Malcolm Butler. Suddenly, does this entire shift now? Because Malcolm Butler sucks in Tennessee, and he's using that as evidence to change his mind. He was wrong. Bill was right. Bill's a genius. And I'm not sure, even though I believe that Bill probably did the right thing, I'm not sure that this year makes that much of a difference. Now, Chris Price has done it on Boston Sports Journal.
Whoa. Are you going to criticize Chris Price and Chris Gasper for saying that his performance this year is justifying?
Are you
going to criticize him for that?
I will guess.
Because I've been yelling at you for 2 days because you've had the same take they have.
No. What I've said to you, here's what I said to you. I said
maybe
that,
Bill knew something. Nope, look how bad he is this year.
Am I
not in the same room with him for the last 2 days?
No, you're missing the point then. You have not been paying attention.
Because
I said to you, you can look at the fact that he sucks this year.
Yep.
And you can say to yourself, well, he might not have been as good as we thought he was, but it's not fair to take that and look at Super Bowl Sunday last year. It was better looking at the week before against Jacksonville, in which, by the way, he sucked in that game, and the week before against Tennessee, when he sucked in that game. That's better evidence.
So it's not fair to but look at this year?
No, but you're going to do the exact same
thing.
Wait,
it's not fair
if
to look
Malcolm
at
Butler goes in as a big game on Sunday, what are you going to say? What are you going to say? You're going to come out and you're going to say, see?
Listen,
he
I know you went to the dentist the last
Sunday.
Few days, but did they drug you? Do you even realize what you're saying? For the last 2 days, you've been making the same point they have to me, and now you're going to backtrack and say it's not fair to say that this year's performance is a good reason why he sat in the Super Bowl?
I said it's as legitimate a point
as if he goes out and has a good game. Maybe Bill knew what he was doing. Look what he's playing this year. He sucks this year.
I always thought Bill knew what he was doing.
Of course you do, because you never think he doesn't. No, you would never doubt him. That's not true,
but the theory that I have on Super Bowl Sunday is
as good as anybody. Can we go to everyone else that's been here the last 3 days?
You are
Ryan, is this insane right now, what I'm hearing from Ordway? Christian, is this insane what I'm hearing from Ordway?
This is insane. This was a team thing against you.
This is insane. Okay? He's jumping ship on you right now.
You're missing the point.
That's why you asked me.
I'm missing the point.
You're missing the point.
Let him explain your point.
The point is that I've already had a theory of what happened in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with what he's doing in Tennessee right now. Look,
so this, it's so a, what he's doing in Tennessee?
Finish?
No, what he's doing in Tennessee does not justify Bill not playing him in the Super Bowl. Is that what you're telling me?
I don't think it's a major factor. In the same respect that I said to you yesterday, if he were playing great this year,
I just wasted my last 2 days of my life.
Or he had a great game.
I have wasted
on Sunday.
The last 2 days of my life.
You'd be the first one using it.
Yeah,
you would use it.
At least I admit it.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's not.
So admit what you said the last 2 days.
Do you think Butler should have at least played in the game?
I think it is startling. Let me finish. You're going to ask the question.
I just want a yes or a no.
Yes.
Here's usually how it works.
Yes, Mr. Farre.
Answer yes or no. Then I'll give. I'm not going to cut you off. I swear to God. Okay.
Sure.
I swear to God, I won't cut you off. Just give me a yes or no, then explain
you'll throw
it.
Crap at me.
Do you think?
Do
you think he should have played in the game?
I think he should have got an opportunity.
Oh my God.
But
you didn't even say this the last 2 days.
But there's a reason.
Because listen, you don't understand. We're
on
the same side.
Hold on. Stop it.
Unfortunately for you,
I understand that.
Ordway, unfortunately for you, there's people that listen to this show, and they've heard us argue the last 2 days. And for you now to sit there and say that, oh, Gasper's way out of line. So isn't Price because his play this year is
not
justified. Because you've been the complete opposite the last 2 days.
You got it wrong.
Oh,
so I'm not saying that they're out of line.
Bill obviously wasn't stupid, was he? Look at Malcolm Butler. The way he's playing. I've told you that takes been stupid for
Lou,
2 days, and now you're on my side?
Lou, you admitted that if he played well this year or played well on Sunday, you would totally look at it and say, verification, there you go.
Yeah,
he should have played in Super Bowl Sunday.
I've admitted it.
That's right. I'm telling you, it's good to use for your argument, but really, does it make that much sense? Is it really that big a factor whether he plays this year?
Glenn, I've been asking you that question the last 2 days.
But we've given you the reason he didn't play on Super Bowl Sunday.
I think I got to leave the room.
He's a fighter.
I'm
watching his TV show last night.
And
I'll give him credit. I'll give him credit. That at least he understood that people in this town were talking about it. He's on with our buddy Michael Holly. Holly's got no clue. He's got no clue that what was going on last year. No clue.
Up and under.
None.
I'm just wondering, though. Are we building a great, big, 6'5", 235-pound straw man?
Tom.
Has anybody said, you know what? This justifies the Super Bowl. I can't even remember that. That hardest in Bill, the hardest of a hardcore and Bill we trust.
Chris Gasper wrote the article today. Bill's right decision again. Talk about him not playing the Super Bowl.
That's crazy.
It is.
Okay. Other than Gasper, is anybody else?
Except for today, of course, because now all of a sudden, now
Chris
he's coming back on my side.
No, it's perfect.
I am stunned.
Lou, it's perfect to use on the argument because you could sit there and say
it
he sucks right now.
It is 100% valid argument.
He sucks right now. What I'm saying to you
is even
hold on. What I'm saying is from
you, okay?
No,
you're
I'm
drowning.
Not. You don't need to save me. I'm good. Chris, I'm good.
You know those bobbers that you fish with, red and white ones? That's you up and down.
I'm not bobbing up and down.
Let me just hold on. Christian?
Yeah, he's a buoy.
Christian?
Yes, sir.
What do you have to say about what's been just said here in the last couple of minutes?
Wait, I was trying to help him out.
What have you said about him saying it's crazy?
No, we were saying the same thing.
And now what's he doing?
I don't know what he's doing.
What is he doing now?
He's doing the old way up and under. I don't know.
Is he saying the opposite?
But basically, in the old way terms, yes.
Can I explain?
No, wait, hold on.
I don't know if
you
can.
I actually gave you
can I explain?
I don't know if you can.
I know when you go and do the show with Holly and he's not aware of the breaking news.
I don't know if you can. We got to try.
I don't care what you say. It is a valid argument.
It is.
It's further proof that he was not the player that we all thought he was.
But
everybody has Malcolm Butler Seattle in their minds. And the fact is, he was not playing. So here's what the Tennessee Titans are doing. And I told you guys all of last year, starting with the preseason, teams challenge him. They test him. They go at him right away. And most of them are successful. Go back to the very first preseason game. There was a rookie wide receiver, okay, just torched him on a go route to start the game. You saw more of those plays than ever. Now, do I think he should, based on new information and sideline adjusting, should they at least look to their left or look to the right and said, you know what? I should try the guy that's just kind of sitting there with his hand up saying, ooh, I think I could do this. They should have put him in the game.
That's crazy.
You talked to Teddy Bruschi, and I understand Bill's mentality. Listen, here's our conclusion. Here's the game plan we're doing. It's not fitting in. One of the corners had to get hurt for him to go in. Not Bartomoski, not Jordan Richard.
So he couldn't play
one
the slot.
Of the corners, so he wasn't going to go in.
He was not going to play
Start
the
with
slot.
That premise.
He was not going to play safety because he had probably not done it during the course of the week.
He wasn't going to be a linebacker or big nickel.
That's it.
Okay, because Chung got hurt. Then who went in for Chung?
So you
Jordan
and I,
Richards went in for Chung.
You and I have been consistent on this. He was either going to play for Gilmore, not going to happen, or play for
That's
Rowe.
It.
And other than the
that
first two
it.
Series, Eric Rowe played a good game. First two series, not so good. So, fast forwarding, earlier in the year, we're talking
about the defense. At some point, you got to find ways to get your best players on the field, right? Best defenders. You got to figure out who they are. And meanwhile, while you're getting run up and down the field, you don't figure out a way to get Malcolm Butler in the game.
No. He was not going to get him in the game.
Is Eric
Rowe
pretty
obvious? Hold on, but you keep going back to you.
It wasn't Gilmore Rowe.
Don't give me Bartomoski. He was not the problem. Okay, it was.
First of all, you only in practice 3 days.
Gilmore or Rowe?
Okay, so
those two guys.
All right, where did Rowe play most of the year?
Slot.
Okay, so why can't you put Rowe back in the slot?
Both. He played both.
Fine, put it back in the slot.
But he's your corner.
The Eagles had big outside receivers.
Aguilar's not
big. Big outside receiver.
Alshon is.
You don't put him in a big guy.
Aguilar's not big.
Do you think Mike Vrabel's putting him on a big receiver this week?
Once again, hello, sign language. Aguilar's 6 feet. Hello.
You think he's going to be on Gordon this week?
No, because he's not a big. He's not going to cover a big guy.
There you go.
God, Glenn! I'm not putting him on Jeffrey! What about Aguilar?
He's not putting him on a slot. He's not putting him inside.
What about Rowe on the slot?
We just told you he didn't. They had He was there for three days of practice.
If you want to take him out of position.
They weren't going to do it.
Again, you would have made things worse if you
Trent
stuck
Brown
him
just missed practice with an illness. Can he play this weekend? Oh, he missed practice. He's only going to have 2 days of practice.
You're asking him to play a position that he hasn't repped.
I'm asking Eric Rowe to play a position he's played all year long.
Rowe's not the problem. And we already know that Butler's going to get...
The slot
Rowe
is the problem.
Not getting torched.
Patrick Chung was playing some slot in that game before he got hurt.
This is a back and forth that's never going to end.
No, it's never going to end.
That's why
I love it.
It's insane. And nobody knows the answer.
I don't understand why you just... Eric Rowe played slot all year long.
Well, I would say Eric Rowe's
on Gilmore.
But the problem.
Aguilar's on Butler.
He's just.
Rowe, play the slot.
How many times does he have to say it before you'll actually hear it?
Well, I mean, Glenn,
do we have to say it?
We're all over the place.
He just told you
then
that.
You need to chalk it up to one thing and one thing only. Okay, if you want to look for the answer.
And here's the thing.
Hold on.
You get your best defensive players on the field at the same time.
The only thing I can chalk it up to, if you really want to figure out why Bill did not play him, pride. Stubborn. Pride.
No, because
that
of the weed, the hookers, and the fight he got into that week.
And the Rick Ross concert he went to, and he's coming late.
And he smacked his kid. Don't smack someone's kid. You won't play if you smack
whose
a kid.
Whose kid was
Belichick's
that?
Kid.
See,
slapped him around like a little
coach.
Bitch.
I don't believe that happened. We would have heard about that by now.
I did hear that though.
We heard a lot of stuff.
No,
we heard tons of stuff.
Came by and said, what are you doing? And they got in a fight.
Do you think it's true?
Yes.
Here's the thing, and I'll keep saying this.
Yes.
I heard this from a reliable source.
Yeah, sure. Yes.
No, hand to God. Okay, with my long list of informants that I have, I went to the one who I thought was the most reliable. I said,
yes.
Tell me. I met some dude at the airport that was like good friends with Bears.
He's always at the airport.
Good friends with Bears.
Yep.
He's like, I'll find out what
and
really
was
happened.
And there was a guy. I got
was he the reliable source?
No, he was not.
There was a guy that
he didn't know.
The reliable sources that I talked to were telling me that none of that stuff happened. Well, of course, they're biased.
Oh, I had a reliable source that had a few of them. Who? And everybody went silent over there because they wanted to just move on. Nobody could talk, which is what they do. Why didn't Malcolm Butler's story get out? Gee, I don't know. Why doesn't McNally have a book? Why is Jastrzemski, who's pissed off at the world, that how it went down? Why isn't he talked? Because they shut him up. That's what they do. They make him sign something, or they give him a hush money, and they say, Malcolm, I won't embarrass you. I won't embarrass you and tell
money.
You what you did.
It's like Washington
politics. And you don't embarrass me, and we'll be happy, and you go and sign your contract, and everybody will be pleased.
So here's the one thing we know. You're always going to believe that, and Christian and I are always going to believe this. And the point that I was trying to make with you earlier is that all of the bad play this year, of course you can bring it up and use it and say he sucks. But really, it has very little to do with what happened on Super Bowl Sunday. We just gave you what we thought happened on Super Bowl Sunday.
All seriousness, okay. What has made you change your opinion from the last 2 days?
I haven't changed my opinion. Opinion is the same.
I honestly don't know what it is.
Glenn, you've been pounding this drum that, oh, he Malcolm Butler's the worst corner. Oh, no, he maybe Bill knew what he was doing by not playing him.
No, by
oh,
not.
Maybe this is the player Bill thought he was. And and I keep telling you that I don't understand. I don't understand. Why do you think this year's play has anything to do with the Super Bowl? He said, because he's not playing good. Luke, and maybe, Glenn, we had this discussion for two straight days. Tell me, why have you changed your opinion?
And if you remember what I what said happened? To you, remember what I said
Who
to you
got
is,
to you?
You're going to use that part of
Did
your
Holly
argument.
Did Holly call you and I'm inform be, you?
Holly doesn't know
was
yet.
Was it Burge? Was it Bill? What happened? Know. Who
Holly
called you?
Holly gave you the wrong information.
What happened to you?
I thought you were talking
serious.
About the Red Sox.
It's the craziest
Holly's
discussion
operating
I've
like two days, 2 days behind, or apparently.
He's, like, he's got that Gasper gene.
It's like everybody was talking about it yesterday, right? It wasn't a straw man argument. Everybody was bringing it up.
He sounds like a caller. You know what? Something nobody's talking about. Nobody is talking about that. No, that's what it sounded like.
I said yesterday to you that if he had a terrific season or he had a great game on Sunday, you'd make a big deal about it because it's part of you could throw it into the argument. Yeah. But the bottom
Glenn,
line on this one,
Glenn, that's like saying if Al Horford's got a bad game tonight, I'm not going to talk about
it. Stop talking about Al Horford. He's been very good lately. And don't get the green teamers going. But it is a separate issue from what happened on Super Bowl Sunday. So, yes,
I would agree.
The fact that he
which
sucks,
is what I've been trying to tell you for 2 days.
Sucks. But what happened on Sunday has everything to do with the fact that he sucked in the week before the Jacksonville game, which, by the way, you corrected, I believe, DJ Bean on there. DJ didn't even remember that he sucked in the Jacksonville game. You corrected him on that one. Mm-hmm. I got to give you credit for that one.
Are you like the sheriff over there?
Yeah, he is like the sheriff. He's
like,
sitting there.
Once a week.
Man, let me give you the info. You're wrong. You're out of line. Hey, there's new sheriff. Oh, here comes Lou.
It's your show.
Hey,
far more to do with the two games before that.
They call us out on our crap and takes. Oh no,
that it does for this show.
Here comes Lou.
I got Tanguay talking about David Price's shoulder and how that's been a problem all year long.
Okay, so
and how he's got problems tipping pitches. I walk in that place and go, what the hell are you people talking about?
A little off. You just don't have the information. What's information?
It's all about he's killing our hot takes.
It's all about takes.
He's
it's
killing our takes. Hot takes.
Give me a take.
He says we're supposed to make science.
DJ, when he throws it back at DJ, no, DJ, he was really good in that against Jacksonville. DJ just recoils like a little child.
All right, okay, we got to take a break. I got a stat for you that I want to
throw. All right, fine.
Stat? I got a stat, and we talk about analytics, we talk about stats that matter, okay. And numbers that matter. I got a stat.
Numbers matter.
Brady.
Okay, our own Bill James coming up next.
OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
It's completely illogical to say Bill Belichick didn't play Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl. We're all upset about it, you know, confused by it in February, March, April, May. And then here we go, fast forward to November. He's playing poorly, and you say, okay, I'm over the Super Bowl thing.
I'll never be over it.
That's a hot take right there.
Never.
I'll never be over it.
I'll get over it.
Jeez, I'll never get over it.
Get over it. Get
all right, so if I was to tell you that Tom Brady was one of the worst quarterbacks throwing the football versus the blitz, would you believe me?
No. I would tell you that.
Hold on. Okay. Relax there, Tiger. Right.
Okay.
No, I would not.
You would not.
No.
Really? Okay, yeah. Well, I'm just looking at some stats here.
From this year?
This is from this year. Yeah, this is quarterbacks versus the blitz according to their passer rating.
Okay.
Brady is basically like, you know, tied with Joe Flacco at 63.3%. Number one is Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Andy Dalton, Drew Brees, Brock frickin' Osweiler.
Did you say Andy Dalton?
I did say
okay.
Andy Dalton.
That negates the
So with all this information, just looking at what the DMPs is going to do to Tom Brady, how he's going to attack him, because they blitz a lot. So you're sitting there going, all right, well, then they should keep doing it. Because Brady, based on the stats this year, is only completing 63.3% of his passes versus the blitz. True. To believe it or don't believe it?
I don't believe it. I think
well, I wouldn't believe it.
It's a stat, obviously.
Well, I mean, the number is the number.
No,
I mean,
right, let me ask you. So 63%, this is like OPS. But is there damage being done? Like, is he burning teams? Might be 63% because he's throwing a lot of touchdowns.
Percentages.
Okay, but what I'm saying is,
it's based on
of the 63% completions, how many are really big plays? Is he burning you? In other words, like that Josh Gordon, right? That long touchdown pass. Is that, I know because guys are biting on, the corners are biting on certain things.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm just saying.
So his passer, when you blitz him, his passer rating is low because he can't complete the pass. I mean, that's basically what it says.
Yeah, yeah.
It has nothing to do with
touchdowns
or anything else.
No, I understand, but you blitz me five times. I only complete three of them. I'm at 60%. But you know what? There are three touchdowns. Because I burned you on him. Even though my completion percentage was down, I burned you. Do you know if they were
so
impact
I guess
plays?
Basically you're saying that so suddenly, even though the number is saying that his passer rating is one of the worst, it's basically just like Joe Flacco, you still wouldn't blitz him. You still wouldn't blitz him.
You're basically saying
the numbers are lying to you.
Yeah, because my eyes are telling me. I saw it last week. There was
I saw him blitz one time, and then they got burnt on because I don't know if it was a blitz, but just the guy jumped up on the route. That wasn't necessarily a blitz.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
But again, did somebody pick up on the blitz? I saw Barnard knock Clay Matthews on his ass last week, and another blitz that they throw. I believe he did complete that pass.
So there was a stretch in that game where he couldn't complete anything.
But you're telling me the QBR is the lowest? Not just
the passer rating.
Okay, well, that's
passer
different.
Rating, right?
Yeah, that'd be different. Yeah.
So, I mean, when I saw it, I was like, that doesn't even, that's not a Tom Brady that I remember. So you're telling me that, you feel comfortable blitzing him even with that? So
maybe
you can go back and look at it?
Maybe it's the cliff.
Maybe that's what it is. I should send this.
Send this to Max.
Don't send this to Max.
I can tell you why. He's coming to an end.
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
No?
Because my eyes tell me something different. Now, I will say this, that he's smart enough when nobody picks up on the blitz and he sees it coming, he'll throw the ball away, where a lot of guys will eat it, and so they never throw a pass. So they get a sack, but they never throw a pass at
him. QBR is different.
What he does is he throws.
Passer rating.
Right.
That's different.
QBR is an ESPN stat.
I'm just saying, but completion percentage to me means nothing, right? Because you blitz him three times, first, second, third down. Incomplete, 60-yard touchdown pass. You winning?
You winning.
33% completion percentage. You winning? You're burning them, right?
Yeah.
So you're taking chances, and it's risky. You know, the risk ain't worth the reward. You might get him a couple times, but that third time he's going 60 yards downfield.
Yeah, but he's got the maturity.
But QBR factors that in too, though. So
you're right. He's got the maturity and smarts, though, when he sees the blitz and he knows there's no way out of it, to throw the ball out of bounds. So that's an incompletion, correct? As opposed to other quarterbacks who will sit there and take the sack. So that's where the thing could be very, very deceiving. All we know is, why do coaches, defensive coordinators, not usually blitz against Tom Brady? Even blitz-happy teams shy away from doing it against Tom Brady.
So here's
are they
the
not
thing.
Looking
when,
at these
when
stats?
It, when it comes to, okay, this may help you a little. When it comes to, finalizing, quantifying your passer rating, there's four categories. You got percentage of completions per attempt, average yards gained per attempt. So let's say you don't, so that'll help you if you don't complete a lot, but the ones are big impact plays, and that'll help your overall rating. Percentage of touchdown passes per attempt, and percentage of interceptions per attempt. And blitzing, when he's being blitzed, just specifically blitzing,
surprising.
He's one of the worst.
That's surprising.
In the league. Now, well, I don't think you can sit there and convolute that. Like, it is what it is.
No, that is what it is. TBR, it is what it is. You're talking about, he throws the ball away a lot. Well, yeah. he's done that in the past, too.
Yeah.
It's still one of the worst.
It's still an incompletion. It's still showing you. And at this point in time, these stats matter. Right? Now, do you want to sit there and really break it down? Okay, are you taking, do you want to take out the three worst games that he's had versus the blitz? And maybe those are earlier in the season. You want to just take the last four games and you really want to show a trend? Like, you're all about trending now.
Right.
Like, you're a big trending now guy.
Big.
So, maybe that'll show a different number.
But early on, he had no Julian Edelman, so he had
that's
no...
That's my point. Right. So tell me how this
slant
is a,
to
tell
bail
me how
out.
This
Let's
number
look.
Is
Let's
a fraud.
Look.
I don't know. I'll ask it this way. Do you believe that Dean Pease, and you're right, they like to blitz a lot, this Tennessee team. I want to get to them, by the way, defensively, because Belichick fell... Belichick's just saying it. They're the best defensive team in the league. Far from it, by the way.
Red zone
but
defense,
they,
by the way.
No, they're best in both categories, I believe.
Points allowed?
I believe so. Or maybe it's yardage, but getting back to this whole point about the blitzing, do you believe that Dean Pease will back off, or rather continue blitzing at the same rate he is right now against Tom Brady?
Well,
he knows him well.
The only reason why I said that is because that's what I was looking at, and when this stat came up,
what's
I was
the
like,
answer?
"Wow,
yes or no? Why are you
no,
chastise
I think
it, me
I,
when I don't
no,
give you
no,
yes or no?"
No, I think
and then you go on.
I think you have to. You can't just sit back there and let him dink and dunk. You have to. No, that is not for me. You have
that
to pick your spots. So you have. And listen, Vrabel knows that he's got to be aggressive. He has to. I tell you what, I have completely changed my slant on their offense as far as what they're going to be capable of doing. The Tennessee Titans were not their offense is not even close as what I thought they were.
Finally.
They're not going to be able to do.
You changed your mind from yesterday?
Yeah, just
Lou doesn't
at it.
Like that when you change one day.
Further information. Further studying.
So Tennessee's not going to win this
their
game.
Their offensive line is average at best.
Okay.
Derrick Henry, I don't know what his problem is.
He's having a bad year.
He just can't get going. He's like, right. He's so big.
Shouldn't have played in that playoff game.
There's an interesting stat about Deion Lewis, which will show what their offensive line is all about. So he's like number one in the league with yards after contact, right? Which means he's avoiding a lot of tackles.
He's doing it all himself.
But he's like the Deion Lewis that we know.
That's the guy.
Right. Hard to catch. Yeah. Hard to catch, hard to bring
like,
down.
But like last in the league with yards before contact, which means like he can't get going because they're tackling him in the backfield.
Right.
So a guy like Derrick Henry with a bad offensive line can't get going because they're hitting him in behind the line of scrimmage.
It's like LeGarrette Blount trying to do it.
Yeah, it doesn't work for him, right? So you need that's why Deion Lewis has taken over all the reps because they need a shifty back in there to jump around and avoid blocks and get positive yardage.
Yeah, in the last 3 weeks he's been good. He's getting a lot more playing time. Here's the other one about defense because everybody's talking about defense and red zone defense and how good they are. Yada yada yada. Teams they've played so far, average 28th in offense. If you take the teams, individual teams, take their place. Offensively, they've played crappy offensive teams. So your number is going to look really good if the average of those teams that you've played average 28 out of 32 teams offensively.
Well, I would throw in there then?
That's tough to average 28.
So if you're talking, if you're just talking specifically
Jacksonville,
so
Ravens,
break down the
Buffalo.
Numbers, okay? If that number is correct or not, are they really good in the red zone? So if they're playing crappy offenses, right? And then how are those crappy offenses once they get into the red zone? So if those offenses that you're already saying are bad to begin with are even worse when they get into the red zone, well, then that's going to change the number. And that number is not real. So you can sell me this number that they're really good in the red zone, but really who have they played that has any bit of success with any team? Not just us. We're just lucky that we played four teams that not only suck offensively, but even that suck even more once they get the ball inside the 10 or inside the 20.
Right.
So there goes your overblown stat that just kind of makes you feel like you're better than you really are. And that's what Bill is selling everybody. They're good red zone, man. They can move the football. They can move the football. Once they get it, they score. No, I'm not buying that either. They don't have any weapons.
Yeah, they're doing it against crappy offensive teams. That's what it comes down to. And so like anything else, and especially when you're looking at the sample, you're not looking at, you know, a whole season. You're looking at less than half a season here. Then some of those numbers really jump out at you. You know, and so 9-6, they played a 9-6 game against Jacksonville. Unfortunately for the Patriots, Jacksonville was really good against the Patriots, right? Then they had a 13-12 game against the Bills, right? So again, the Ravens are not a big scoring team. So and their offense, the most points they've scored was 28, and that was the game the other night against the.
Who said
Mariota
yesterday.
Had his best
can they
game
score 30 plus? I don't think they can. I don't think they can.
No.
They got no shot.
No. All right, 617-779-7937. We're back to the phone calls right here on OMF next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.